Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, giving feedback to remote directs, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how do I give feedback to my remote directs? Is feedback different when it's remote? And can I give feedback in writing when my directs are remote?
Hey folks, Mark here again, reminding you to come to the website and sign up for our M conference. This year, October 26th and 27th in Chicago. Again, this year, we like the hotel. It's convenient. It's in the center of the country for those of you in the U.S. We have a whole new lineup of speakers, as we do every year at the M conference. It is our most important, biggest conference of the year. And sometimes, you know, you make plans and things turn out different. We thought what would be great would be the speakers, and they are pretty great. But what our attendees have told us the last couple of times is that what makes it great is the networking that happens there and afterwards. We have a very active Slack channel, which I'm involved in on a daily basis. And we've got people reaching out to new and existing colleagues and friends, helping their careers and encouraging one another along the way. So a lot of real value to the M Conference, October 26th and 27th in Chicago. Come to the website, sign up.
If we're talking about feedback being verbal, it must be verbal, good. And then the question becomes, how do we address the fact that it's verbal remotely?
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to give verbal feedback remotely is during one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm laughing.
You're already there.
Yeah. It's so funny that it just doesn't seem like that big of a hurdle to me in my mind.
Yeah.
Just because we've been doing it for so long. And so I shouldn't laugh. If you're not doing this yet and you're concerned, y'all, the easiest way to do this is during your one-on-ones.
Yeah.
You're already there. As in general, most managers wait until their portion of a Zoom or telephone MT03 to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You could certainly deliver feedback during your directs portion as well. I do that when most recently Andrew comes to mind. He's working on something and he brings it up in his time. And you know, the conversational one-on-one podcast talks about how you don't have to wait till your turn to talk about stuff that's on their list and your list.
Both contributing? So
if Andrew brings it up and I have positive feedback for him, I'll give it then during his time.
While we're here, gotta give you some feedback.
Yeah, it's weird. I've tried it both ways and I feel weird to wait until it's my turn.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Why cover the topic again?
Yeah. It feels like I'm trying to enforce an agenda, I value the agenda over the conversation or over the input that over the topic, I guess.
Oh, that is such a good point. But can I ask Kate to elaborate on the point? If it were negative feedback, would you approach it the same?
I do, actually.
Okay. Yeah. No right, no wrong, gang. But no right, no wrong. I just...
Yeah.
It comes down to comfort, right? Kate said a couple of times, it just makes more sense to me. It feels more comfortable. I find a lot of things around giving feedback are such that you got to be comfortable. If it feels more comfortable to you to deliver it while they're speaking, do it while they're speaking. If it feels more comfortable for you to wait and cover it in your turn, wait and cover it in your turn.
That's interesting to me. I agree with you that we should try to create comfort where we can.
Yeah.
I don't know that I always feel comfortable though.
Oh, totally. Totally. Some semblance of comfort occasionally isn't bad.
Right. So if doing it during their portion makes it easier for me or makes me feel more comfortable, that gives it more comfort. But I don't know that I always feel comfortable. In fact, I would even say that a lot of the time I don't feel comfortable. So comfort is good. And I wish I had more of it.
I wish I had more of it. I don't, but I wish I did.
I wish I did. So yes, you could do it during your directs portion. You could wait until your portion and maybe wait to start giving the feedback during their portion of it until both you and your direct are comfortable with the model. So when you, after you've done it a couple of times.
Outside of the one-on-one meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or even in the one-on-one meeting, but during your time so that you've started, you've given a lot of feedback, you're more comfortable with the model, your direct's comfortable hearing it, and then you can kind of pepper it into their portion of the content. So that's the easiest place, one-on-ones.
It is. All of that, though, all that comfort that we were just talking about comes from doing a lot of it. So that means not just waiting for our one-on-one each week. Mm-hmm. But folks, there are lots of other opportunities to give feedback, even though we are in a remote setting. Example, we're hanging out, we're doing another meeting, a staff meeting, and our direct happens to be in said staff meeting, saying to your direct, hey, could you just stick around? And after everyone leaves the meeting, delivering feedback there. Or asking folks to stick around after a stand-up meeting, right? As everyone else is leaving, Kate, do you want to just hang back a quick second? And delivering it there.
I think that people who are hearing us make this suggestion believe that everyone on the call knows it's about feedback. And I just want to say, you know, your fear is, if I ask someone like, to hang back, exactly, the other people on the call are thinking, ooh, Sarah's going to get some feedback. Y'all, they're not. They have no idea. You ask people to hang back for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It happens
a lot. All kinds of meetings. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have meetings all the time. I would say 2 or 3 meetings a week I'm in, people say, hey, can you hang back for a second? And I know, because 90% of the time the relationship of the people who are hanging back is not manager to direct.
Direct.
That it's 90% of the time those, hey, can you hang back a minute, things are not feedback.
They can't be feedback.
Yeah. And so if you're thinking, oh gosh, people will know, y'all, I say this a lot. I've been saying it a lot recently, that what you're imagining someone is thinking about, you're probably wrong. You know, if you think like, oh, they're thinking this or they're imagining that, y'all, think of all the things in the universe that a person could have in their mind right now. They could be thinking about frogs. So seriously, I mean, they could be thinking about so many different things. The thing that they are not thinking about is, what are you going to talk to this person who you're asking to hang back?
No. Who's got time for that? They're thinking about, how can I quickly get out of this meeting?
Yeah,
I need to run to the restroom before the next meeting. How do I get out of here as fast as is humanly possible? I do not care who wants to hang out as long as it is not me. I am perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So that.
Yeah, you guys hang back. Bye.
You guys hang back. Exactly. Now, if that doesn't appeal to you, that the hanging around after the meeting, or probably more commonly would be you and your direct aren't in a ton of meetings together on a regular basis, you could always, because feedback needs to be verbal, text or Slack someone and say, hey, call me when you get a second. Now, we'd not recommend you tell them it's for feedback, because they're going to assume it's for negative feedback, because that's what everyone does, even after we've proven to them that we're only giving positive feedback, for example. And so we'd Slack them when they call you, say, hey, do you have a second? This is actually for some feedback, and deliver it there. Additionally, you can just call them. I mean, you could just actively, using a Zoom or using Skype or using a telephone, which we talked about on our previous part of the cast, use the telephone and just call them.
I am constantly baffled by how often I call people on the phone. And I'm, at this particular moment, I am not speaking about work. But in real life, I am constantly baffled by the amount of times I call people and they don't answer. And then I hear some form of, oh, I didn't have my phone, or I wasn't near my phone, or I wasn't.
Oh,
and
okay.
I have to tell y'all, the lack of instances where I see someone like without a phone in their hand, people are always holding their phone. Don't say, oh, I wasn't holding my phone, or like, oh, I didn't have my phone. I know where your phone is. It's in your paw. You didn't want to answer? Fine. But somehow, even though these phones are constantly attached to our hands, no one's answering them. I don't know what that's about. Yeah. And if your direct doesn't answer, leave them a voicemail. It's fine.
Yeah.
Y'all, use the phone. You can do it. It's a thing that you can do.
Yeah. We know how to use it.
I don't think that they do. I mean,
yes, in action, we do. In theory, we do not. But in action, we do.
I think it's the other way around. Because people are, I don't know. Do people, I don't know. Every time people say, how can I give more verbal feedback?
Yeah.
I think to myself,
talk to them more.
You have like you have a phone, yeah. Right?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
People have multiple phones. If you sit at a desk, you have a phone at your desk and another phone. Anyways, yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. All of these things work.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. Like there's tons of options. You can call people or you can talk to them during another meeting as it adjourns, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. And many managers hesitate.
Okay. Yeah. And there's a thought exercise for this though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thinking back to the Horseman middleman test, you've got a boss. Don't you want more feedback, assuming you trust your boss and that you believe that your boss will treat you fairly? Don't mm-hmm. you want more?
Yeah.
Your directs aren't that different from you.
Right.
They are just like you in this regard. And we often say that our manager tools one-on-one model is for your directs. Mm-hmm. But the manager tools feedback model, it's a model for you.
Right.
It's for managers. Because managers need the help the feedback model gives, the support the feedback model gives, in getting past our own fears and uncertainties about how to talk to people about their performance.
I think as managers, it's hard to remember that most directs have been absolutely deprived of feedback. They hear so little about what they're doing well and what they could improve on. And they bring to their relationship with us, their managers, all their previous managers, some of whom uh-huh. were bad and some of whom were quite bad. And those managers only gave feedback when it was negative and when it was serious, right? Those managers waited mm-hmm. until things were bad. They delayed, and those bad previous managers made excuses. They hoped their directs would fix themselves. Mm-hmm. They waited until there was a pattern. That's yeah. a fun one. And when they finally said something, the delivery of it, and it wasn't delivered as feedback, likely. That delivery, though, was also fraught with overtones of concern and yeah. worry and mm-hmm. future punishments. And that is scary mm-hmm. and unnecessary. We don't have to be that manager. And if that resonates with you, if that's been your experience as well, that mm-hmm. drought of feedback and then the flood of fear. Remind yourself that as a manager, you have the power to save your directs from,
yeah.
you know, your own, like the circumstances you've been inflicted mm-hmm. in the past. You can be the manager that you want to be and change what management looks like.
Right.
And of course, that brings us to the next thing, the next basic tenet of feedback. It's best when it's small. Feedback is best yeah. when small.
So much better when small.
Let's not propagate the
yeah,
you know, the
ills
right
visited upon us by our previous managers.
Exactly.
Onto don't, our
let's
direct.
Not recreate the drought and then the flood. Don't wait. When you see something good, give positive feedback. When directs meet deadlines, give them positive feedback. When they're well prepared for a meeting, feedback. Sure, you could praise them, and it's a missed opportunity for positive feedback, which makes you then less likely to give negative feedback when they make small mistakes. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of managers overestimate how important or big something has to be worthy
Absolutely.
Of feedback. Smaller, more frequent feedback is better. In fact, you know, years ago, there was a woman who used to work here, and she's since left us. She's retired, and she used to do my travel, both of yeah. our travel. And if you've ever flown Southwest, you know that feeling of walking down the airplane aisle, not knowing who you're going to have to sit next to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the things that caused me the most stress when traveling. And then Judy started booking our travel, and she consistently booked me exit row aisle. Every flight. And part of that's because Mark is a big guy and he likes to fly exit row aisle. Yeah. And so she was kind enough to give me the same courtesy as him. And I called her once from the aisle of the airplane. And of course, Judy answered the phone. She says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing's wrong, dude. I was just calling to say when you consistently book me exit row aisle, it really reduces my stress around travel. Yeah. Thank you." it was a 10, 15 second conversation because I was boarding and I had no time to continue. And it was that quick. It was so powerful for Judy. And I didn't know at the time. I was genuinely just calling to express my gratitude. And she called Mark, who was her boss at the time, and said, oh my gosh, you know, and she was so moved by it. And I didn't know that. I found out later, though, how powerful it was. Judy called me, it's probably 6 months later, and said, I'm so sorry. And I said, okay, what's up? And she said, you've gotten upgraded to first, and it's not on the aisle. Do you want me to move you back to exit row aisle coach? I said, no, hold. Hold on, Judy. No. In first, the food and wine are free. Please don't move
right?
me.
Right? That's awesome.
So small.
So small. And it was, to your point, it was second nature. It was just automatic. She was on autopilot. She'd been doing that for Mark for years. Absolutely zero additional effort went into it. It was the definition of standard expectations of job performance. And yet, that 15-second conversation changed the way she approached travel booking for you for months and years to come.
Absolutely.
It's small things like that. You're absolutely right. We let those moments pass us by. We think to ourselves, oh, I'm happy with my current situation, whatever it is, but we don't make an acknowledgement of it. Now, because of the topic of our podcast, let's talk about those small little interactions, those moments that are seemingly fleeting that we want to take advantage of. So how do we address this remotely?
Mm-hmm.
So thinking small when giving feedback makes it easier to give feedback when we're remote from our directs. That is, we don't need to think a lot about what it takes to earn our feedback, right? Virtually everything your direct is doing that is not negative is good, right? Standard expectations of job behavior are good. Therefore, an opportunity for positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Even during a meeting, one small comment that is just smart and adds to the conversation or the idea being had by your group is worthy of positive feedback. One of your directs saying to a colleague, you know, that's a really good idea, is something that very easily and very often, I would say, is taken for granted, but it's a perfect chance for you to stick around after the meeting, say, hey, can you just hang back a second and give some positive feedback at the end of that Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true on the opposite side.
Sure.
Right? That is, if someone interrupts a colleague on a meeting, ask them to stick around for some small and, as we'll see in a second here, brief negative feedback.
Mm-hmm. When you're thinking about small pieces of feedback, y'all, the thing that I always think about is not lowering the standard. We would never ask you to lower the standard here. Consider, though, lowering the bar for what you consider worthy of positive feedback. And for me, the bar is, did they do anything today that I want them to do again tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the bar, they did 100 things today that I want them to do again tomorrow.
Right.
And those things then are worthy of positive feedback.
Absolutely.
It just makes it easier. It makes it a lot easier. What did they do today that I want them to do again tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, the way I think about it also is, don't wait for things that are worthy of your praise.
Mm.
The things that are worthy of your praise are like above and beyond. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the things are so good, but there are a lot of things that are happening that you want to see have happen again. And praise is just, or positive feedback, apologies, is just a easy, quick way to talk about those things, to have those conversations that aren't worthy of praise, but are good just the same.
And there are definitely people listening who are thinking, you know, I don't know that I want to praise them or even
acknowledge.
Yeah, yes, that's it. There are people who are listening who are thinking, I don't want to acknowledge them for being on time or being, you know, in the meeting, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that helped me understand that actually I do want to acknowledge those things was timesheets. If you are a person who exists in an organization with timesheets and people are supposed to do them every day and they don't, y'all, those, yeah. they don't. Those things like timesheets, things that they're supposed to do, small, mm-hmm. cyclical, daily or weekly things, those are the places where positive feedback can change your world, especially your remote world.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't really need to acknowledge that they were on time or that they were nice to their coworkers, I don't know. I bet you, if you gave more positive feedback about things like that and things like timesheets, you'd get better timesheet compliance. Just putting it out there. So, you know, just a thought. And okay, so these are small things and feedback is best when it's brief.
Absolutely.
Brief goes best with small, right?
Absolutely.
So any delivery or discussion longer than a minute starts to become a negative experience. Mm-hmm. And this is true for both positive and negative feedback. It's not just that the feedback becomes negative because it's too long. It's that it becomes a negative experience if it's too long. Mm-hmm. And in our data, 20 seconds is plenty of time. 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You need no more time than that. And your directs don't want you to spend more time than that. Right. On it. The reason for negative is obvious. Directs just want to be done with the conversation.
Right. Rip it off like a Band-Aid.
Yes.
Do not want to be talking about this anymore.
Seriously. Some managers don't see it because directs mm-hmm. push back so often. And it's so it seems like they want a longer conversation.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
But input from directs makes it clear they don't want a longer conversation as much as they want to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, we could examine that.
Right? Why directs want to defend themselves. And it's for a host of reasons, with one at the very top. The vast majority of managers, and we talked a little bit about this earlier on in this cast, have not built the requisite amount of trust necessary for directs to believe that the manager's being fair and reasonable in their delivery. Mm-hmm. They don't trust the manager. They don't think it's coming from a place of, hey, here's a little bit of information. I'm trying to help you do your job better tomorrow. I'm just trying to give you information that can make it easier to do your job. They don't think that. They think it's somehow some fancy punishment technique and therefore push back because lack of trust. Directs also push back because they don't get enough feedback. And when they do get feedback, again, which is quite rare in the majority of cases, it's much more serious than they realize because managers are holding back and they've seen it happen multiple times. And in the manager's mind, oh, this is a chronic thing. Mm-hmm. But to them, no one said anything. So this is the first time it's become a problem, which in many cases, in their experience, is not the case for feedback. And because those things, that is lack of trust, that is holding back on the delivery of feedback and then delivering it when it actually means more than we say it means, are not in the manager tools worldview. Those are non-concerns mm-hmm. in terms of our directs defending themselves.
Right.
Said more simply, directs defend themselves less using the feedback model because we have trust. Our directs know we're there to help. And our directs know we haven't been holding back for months and are just finally getting around to saying something about it.
Mm-hmm. The reason for short positive feedback is different.
Mm-hmm.
The longer it takes us to give feedback, the less feedback we give. So when we hear over and over again from directs that they want more feedback, we create our own problem because if it takes you 10 minutes to prepare each time and then 5 minutes to deliver each time, that's 15 minutes, half of one-on-one. And then it becomes, oh, it's going to take 15 minutes to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we don't do it because mm-hmm. it's going to take a long time and we don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that. Totally.
Anybody who has time for that, I would like to know about your job.
Mm-hmm. Also, I might add, and I know I've heard of multiple managers who say this, sometimes because the positive feedback goes so long, at the end, the direct is left like, was that like negative? Or was that like,
sure.
Was that positive? Or was it negative? And there were so many words. So many words. And I can't fully decipher based on all of the words that came at me, whether that was positive or negative. So it's a whole thing.
Absolutely.
Now, you don't want your positive feedback to be brief and your negative feedback to be long, or even vice versa. That's the thing about it though, right? We want all feedback to be delivered and received the same. We don't want there to be a noticeable difference between one and the other, because in our minds, neither's different. All feedback is about the future. All feedback is about encouraging effective behavior in the future. Mm-hmm. It's all about creating a positive future. So while they're negative and positive, that is, I'd like you to change something or do it again, really, feedback's all about the future. It's got the same intent. Why would we deliver it differently? So in terms of that length, short for all of them, regardless of whether it's positive or negative.
Which is great for remote considerations.
Mm-hmm.
Brevity and small go together.
Yep.
If your feedback only takes 20, or like 2 to 30 seconds, I almost said 20 to 30, but it doesn't. It could be 2.
Oh, yeah.
Seconds. How can being remote be any harder than face-to-face? Because it's so short. All you have to do is call someone on the phone for one little tiny piece of positive or negative feedback. You high Ds, this is your dream phone conversation.
You know what I think is so funny though, Kate? I've heard voiced in our conferences before, our effective manager conferences.
Sure.
Managers say, you mean I'm going to call them for only a 10-second conversation? How awkward. But in my head, I'm like,
that sounds great.
Yo, do you feel like a 10-minute telephone conversation is less awkward? Because it's like we avoid the phone.
Uh-huh.
Right now, so much.
Seriously.
That really? Like you'd rather a 10-minute? Because that sounds horrible.
I know this is largely a function of the fact that the majority of my life revolves around work, right?
Yeah.
So, and because my husband is also pretty high D. So my conversations on the phone are either less than 2 minutes or longer than 20.
Okay, yep.
Right? It's either a meeting or it's a catch-up with someone I haven't talked to in a while. So it's long. Yeah. Like walking around the block, you know, long, or it's 2 minutes or less. And I, you and I have the same style, and that's how our conversations are. It's either,
right.
Hey, blah, 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 bye.
Right.
Or.
Gotta go.
Yeah. Right. And Mark is, I don't know why I'm just describing people who are like us. That's not very helpful. That's my experience of it. And I like the short ones. You know, we hear this a lot in the in conferences too. We hear it's awkward or it feels scripted. How do I get over that? And y'all, the only way to get over it is to do it a lot.
To do it.
That's it. The same is true of like if you're building a relationship with someone and you need to pick up the phone and talk to them more often. Okay, that feels awkward. Okay, you know what? You know when it won't feel awkward? When you've done it a lot. And so it's normal. Right. That's that word normalizing, which gets used weirdly a lot. It gets used inappropriately recently in the zeitgeist a lot. And the way to not feel awkward about having to call someone or about having to give feedback is to normalize it by repetition.
Yeah.
So, do sorry, Pard. Often. Yeah, that's
the only way.
That's the only way.
Yeah, practice makes perfect. I feel like that's something that I've heard before.
I never heard that. That's crazy to me.
Hey, folks. Mark here. Just a reminder, if you're listening to Manager Tools, I suspect you may have some influence on whether or not your company hires training firms like us to come and deliver training. And because so many of our public conferences have been sold out lately, we can't create them fast enough, it seems like, I thought I'd remind everybody that you can bring us on site to your location, or you could do it virtually as well. I think the cutoff number for the number of people you'd have to have at your company to justify bringing us in as opposed to sending everybody to public conferences is as low as 10 or 12 or 13 people. So it doesn't take 25 or 30 people, even though you can have as many as 30 managers and professionals in the session. So I encourage you to either come to the website and check it out or email Maggie, that's M-A-G-G-I-E, at manager-tools.com, and she will get you sorted.
Folks, feedback is best when it encourages effective performance in the future. Mm-hmm. One of the most important misunderstandings about performance communications, which leads to failed efforts, is when managers think that their feedback is about the past, is about past behavior. You know, most managers believe that the purpose of a feedback conversation is to discuss the mistake or the success, if it's positive, which let's face it, is much rarer regardless, is to discuss the mistake or success of a direct's recent behavior. Now, while this seems like it might be true, is so false. Mm-hmm. The purpose of feedback is to encourage effective behavior in the future. If you think about feedback in that it's about past performance, you need two different ways to talk about it, one for positive and one for negative, right? If you're talking about it and you're talking about a past behavior, you can't have a single model. There have to be more than one model.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the future you want to occur out of both positive and negative feedback is a positive future.
Right. And the thing that kills me is there's nothing we can do about what happened already, the past. We can't do anything about it. The whole point about having a conversation about something done well is to either ask for more of the same in the future or, if it's something that was done poorly, ask for better or different behavior in the future. That's the point. Right. That's the whole point.
It's not about the past. It's really not.
You can have a discussion about the past, and that's going to be super fun for you if you're really into talking about your feelings.
Right? And then be like, oh, well, that was fun. 30 minutes, so we can do nothing about it.
Yeah.
No one's got time for that.
Icky. And I just don't know how effective, in my mind, that's just going to cause a situation where your direct is left feeling as if they have very little ability to be effective. Because
agreed,
that's already happened. So what this means, interestingly enough, is that all feedback is encouragement.
Right. All of it. Even negative feedback is encouragement.
Yes. It's encouragement for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And okay, when you think about it that way, then why would you hesitate?
Right.
Yeah. Why? Right. If we're encouraging, then we should be doing that all the time.
Right.
It's a kindness.
An analogy. It's a kindness. An analogy I use oftentimes in our conferences is ask yourself right now, all the listeners, ask yourself right now, do you want to be better every single day? Mm-hmm. And I would go so far as to say if that were not the case for you, you would definitely not be listening to this podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Good call.
That being the case, let's now think about the number of days you've been on the planet Earth. How are you not perfect yet? Seriously, how are you not the most perfect version of yourself? You've had a lot of days to practice, my friend. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to the fact that in many cases, our ability to excel and improve lives outside of ourselves. Our ability to truly be excellent lives outside of ourselves. We need another person who can see our behaviors and can understand how our behaviors are being received by the audience and can feel the impressions we're leaving when we say or do certain things. And that person tell us so that we can rethink what we're doing. We can change our behaviors. We can re-examine our future. We can improve. If that's the case, we all need someone outside ourselves to help us improve, which I truly believe that it is. Why wouldn't we help our directs with that? They want to be better every single day. They do. You're the only person that can do that. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why would you rob them that improvement?
I don't know. It makes me sad.
It makes me sad too.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to encourage them. And okay, again, back to remote.
Remotely. We're going to encourage them remotely.
We're going to, remote encouragement. We're going to deliver, hopefully, all feedback, positive and negative, in a positive tone. Think of yourself as having forgiven your direct if they've made a mistake, because if you haven't, that's on you, buddy. And it's exactly what you would expect from your boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So think of yourself as having forgiven them for their mistake. This will lower your fear of giving the feedback and lower your direct's defensiveness in receiving it. The more you give, the easier this will get.
Yeah.
Whereas I always think to myself, like, imagine yourself in your happy place.
Okay.
And
on a beach.
What's funny is I think what you're remembering is
on
that—
on a golf course.
On a—
I was actually thinking, what's that show called? Happy Madison?
Billy Madison?
Is that what it's called? Billy Madison. Thank you.
Happy Madison.
That movie.
I've not seen Billy Madison.
Oh, come on.
I think you're combining Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and coming up with Happy Madison.
I am. Oh my gosh, I've not seen either. I'm thinking Happy Gilmore. It's about golf and there's a happy place.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, watch it. Just watch it.
That doesn't sound like, is it Adam Sandler?
It's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Adam Sandler in the 90s.
Let's be clear. I've said this multiple times to audiences and I am not funny. And I'm not good at funny things. It's a really good thing that Gary's funny, or I don't think we'd ever be invited anywhere. Gary's probably seen it. I haven't seen it.
There's a happy place.
There's a happy place. I was thinking
that's my happy place.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. I was thinking of Dani, and her happy place was Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And I was remembering that. I think my happy place is— I think my happy place is the grist mill in Green, Texas, because you can smell the river and the cedar trees, the cypress trees. It's summer in Texas, which to me smells like the Guadalupe River and cypress trees. So that's weird. Okay. Enough about happy. Well, at least it's not a Adam Sandler movie. I don't know.
Right? Sarah's, I know.
Sarah's making a
face. It was the
face.
90s. I was at a very impressionable age. I don't know.
Sarah's making a face about my trees and my water, but you've been there, Sarah.
I know.
You have, like, I'm like, wait, you know what I'm talking about. She's probably thinking it smelled weird. That's okay. I'm going there tomorrow to sit and have dinner at the grist mill and smell the trees.
Classic.
We've gone too far afield. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So the more feedback you give, the easier it will get. Picture yourself in your happy place. It doesn't have to be either of these.
It's probably not ours, and that's fair.
It's fair. Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with part 3 of this guidance.